We are in some marvelous truth in this section of John's Gospel, as you know, starting all the way back in chapter 13 and running through chapter 16. All four of those chapters just loaded with promises and pledges to those who belong to Christ. And first, of course, you know that it is the recorded time between our Lord and the apostles, the night of the last Passover during Passion Week. It was Thursday night. The next day is Friday, the day in which our Lord would be crucified. And here what we have is the last will and testament of Jesus given to all the men before he goes to the cross. And it's just paragraph after paragraph after paragraph of this most stunning and most staggering, wondrous benediction of grace that are given to his unworthy disciples and really extend to all of us as well, to all of us who believe. John chapter 15, verses 12 through 17 will be our focus this morning. And it is the focus of the promised prize of friendship. The promised prize of friendship. And the friendship is really built on the foundation of love that exists between the branches and the true vine. And really among all believers who are connected to Jesus Christ. Actually, all of chapter 15, did you realize, revolves around the idea of relationships. Relationships. Verses 1 through 11 talk about what relationship? The relationship between everyone who's been born again and Jesus Christ. The branches are who we are, and he is, in accordance to chapter 15, verse 1, the true vine. And then in today's text, 12 through 17, we're going to be looking at the relationship of branch to branch, or believer to believer. That's what we're going to be talking about today, our relationships with one another. And then next week, Lord willing, we're going to be in verses 18 through 27. Where the Lord Jesus talks about the relationship of the vine and the branches, not to one another and not to him, but listen, to the world. Our relationship to the world. You don't want to miss that. Next Sunday morning. So today, the importance of friendship and love between believers. Would you agree with this statement? I think it's true. That hundreds of people within the church of Jesus Christ, within the local body of Christ, are lonely and anxious for friendship. Craig W. Ellison, in his book Loneliness, The Search for Intimacy, says this, and I quote, "Loneliness seems to have flooded the lives of millions of modern Americans. It's an emotional epidemic. A recent survey of over 40,000 respondents of all ages found that 67% of them felt lonely some of the time." Can I just say something? I would be in that 67%. I would have, if I was surveyed and somebody said, "Do you ever feel lonely?" I would say, "Yeah, yes, I do." And apparently, I'm not alone in feeling that way. Pun intended. If you take those numbers and juxtapose them or project them on a national scale, the numbers are staggering. What it would equate to would be 150 million Americans feeling lonely. Another survey found that, get this, 64% of widows over age 50 in major urban areas mentioned loneliness as a significant problem in their lives. I'm telling you, this idea of loneliness crosses all ages. Young people are lonely, old people are lonely, and middle-aged people are lonely. It is not a symptom that is relegated to a particular group within our culture. I believe this, that there are many Christians, perhaps some who are here today, that would give anything to have one trusted friend. Just one. One trusted friend, one good friend. Because why? Because friendship is so vitally important. It's so vitally important to our well-being. It's so vitally important to our happiness. It's so vitally important to our contentment, to our being fulfilled. God made us and wired us for relationships. Just this week, I was working with Caleb on a paper for school. And they've been in English, in his English class, freshman English. They've been talking about relationships. And they've been reading some short stories and whatnot on relationships, and the teacher had him write a paper, had the class write a paper on relationships. And what he had him focus on was the pain and the pleasure of relationships. Boy, that struck a nerve. And he did a remarkable job. And the teacher said that the students could choose two people, two friends, one of which was the source of pain and the other of which was the source of pleasure. Or they could choose one friend that was the source of both. So I'm not going to tell you any more about that, who he chose and what he wrote about, but I will say I was quite impressed when he completed the project and I read it. But I agree that relationships can be the source, and I think you will too, of the greatest pleasure and the greatest pain in our lives. I mean, we can ascertain both extremes and do through relationships. But the principle in today's text applies to everyone. I want you to understand this. There's nobody here this morning that would say, I just am not going to get anything out of this message. It applies to all of us. And everyone can learn something about these principles that govern both initiation and reception and maintenance of friendship. Let me say that again. The initiation of friendship, the reception to receive friendship, and the maintenance, maintaining of friendship. Some of us are really good at one, but not the other two. Rarely do I find people that are good at all three of those. They're really good at initiating friendships, they're really good at receiving friendships when somebody else initiates, and then they really do a great job of maintaining friendships over the long haul. And so as friendships develop, these principles that I'm talking about take us into deeper and deeper relationships, which are vitally important to the kingdom, to the church, and to just our individual selves and lives. So let me read the text, and I'm going to put it on the board. If you're able and you can stand with me as we read God's inerrant, infallible word, let's stand together now. John chapter 15, beginning in verse 12. "This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friend. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. This I command you, that you love one another. Father, we thank you for this glorious commandment. We thank you for the beauty of your word spoken to those disciples 2,000 years ago and yet still being applied within the context of the body of Christ. Lord, help us today to glean some of the characteristics of friendship, apply them to our life that you so modeled before the disciples and that John, the beloved disciple, recorded in this glorious gospel. Lord, thank you for being our friend. Thank you for choosing us to be your friend. And thank you for sharing things to us. Thank you for your sacrifice, O God, on our behalf, demonstrating your love for us. Lord, surely no one in this room could ever argue that you have not been a friend to us. A trusted friend, a confidant, a loving friend, a friend who is willing to sacrifice, a friend who is willing to accept us despite all of our warts and all of our shortcomings. Lord, we thank you, and we thank you for the model that we have in the way that you friend and love others. And may we take on those characteristics that we might minister to one another in a powerful way, the way you ministered to the disciples, as well as minister to the world that has lost its way. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you may be seated. In today's text, I see several traits or several characteristics that were all modeled by the Lord Jesus Christ and that are marks of genuine friendship. These are things that we see in the Lord, in the way that He befriended the disciples, in the way that He befriends us, that we can model, that we too can take on these characteristics or these marks of friendship. He bookends this first one in verse 12 and verse 17 of today's text. I want you to look at it with me. It's clearly stated. Point one in the outline, the first mark of genuine friendship is love. Love. There cannot be any sort of friendship apart from love. In fact, friendships are built on the premise and the foundation of love. He goes on in verse 12 and says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you." Love, what he is saying, is a prerequisite for friendship. Now notice, dropping down to the verse 17, the last verse, and that's why I say he bookends or sandwiches everything else in between on these two imperatives, these two commandments. "This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you." In the same way that I've loved you, I'm commanding you, he's saying to these disciples, that you are to demonstrate that same kind of love that I have demonstrated to you to one another. Oh, how wonderful and marvelous that must have been to those disciples. Now notice in verse 17 where he says, "This I command you." So he says it at the beginning, and then he reiterates it throughout the text, and then he concludes it by summarizing and saying, "This I command you." What, Lord? What are you commanding me to do? "That you love one another." Beloved, look around this church. You do not have a choice as to whether or not you are going to love the people in this church. Are you going to love other believers? We are commanded by the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, to do that. It is not an option. I don't have any choice whether or not to love you. You know, I'm called by God to love each and every one of you with the same love that Christ loves me. Okay? Listen, what kind of love is that? Someone says, oh, the questions are marvelous this morning. The kind of love that the Lord Jesus loves me with is called agape love. Do you understand what agape love is? Listen, it is love unconditional. It is not based on me benefiting from you being part of my life, which is mostly what our relationships are based on. You know, I tend to, in my flesh, love people more who I'm going to benefit from their love, who I'm getting something out of there. Are y'all with me? But the Lord Jesus, listen, He loves unconditionally. Are y'all realize that? He loves me when I don't even love myself. Are y'all with me? He loves you. My love for people typically ebbs and flows. Are y'all with me? His love for us is constant. What a friend we have in Jesus. His love does not ebb and flow. It is not based on, you know, what have you done for me lately? He loves you to the uttermost. The scriptures say that you cannot even get your arms around. You cannot even fathom the love of the Lord Jesus for you. It's beyond your imagination. It's beyond your wildest dreams. The Lord Jesus loves you, listen, with an everlasting love. And He calls us to love each other with that same love. What a commandment. What a commandment. Well, how in the world can He expect me to do that? How in the world can He expect me to love y'all like He loves me? I mean, that's a tall task. But listen, we have to understand the context of what He is speaking. He is talking about the idea that one thing is abiding in Christ. And that's key and critical for me to be able to love you like He loves me, is I got to stay connected to Him. And He will pour that love. The fruit of the Spirit, what's the very first fruit of the Spirit? Love. Love. And so as long as I'm connected to the vine, are y'all with me? And His love's pouring through me, then I can pour it out on you. I can love only as long as I stay connected to the vine. When I start getting cut off from the vine, that's when I get in the flesh. And that's when I fail to love y'all like I need to love you, like I'm commanded to love you, like Christ loves you, and like Christ loves me. We have to understand the context not only of this idea of being connected to the vine in order to fulfill this commandment, but also it's the idea of this is my commandment that you love one another. In other words, what He's saying is that you can't hate each other and then consider yourself a friend of Jesus. Did you get that? That's very important. You should write that down. You cannot, listen, the context is that when we are loving each other, it's evidence that we are abiding in Christ. And again, I want to say this, you can't hate each other and then consider yourself to be a friend of Jesus. And then on the other hand, He says, but if you will obey my command to love each other, then you and I will be able to experience the depth of love. Do you understand that if I have an issue with one of y'all and I'm at odds with one of y'all or anybody in the body of Christ, any brother or sister in Christ, that my relationship with Christ cannot be what He intends it to be? Do you guys understand that? That my relationship with Jesus Christ is contingent, listen, on my relationship staying healthy with you guys? If one of you guys have a problem with somebody else and you're not dealing with that problem, then don't be foolish enough to think, and don't you come to me and say, me and Jesus are fine, it's that person I got a problem with, because I got news for you. You and Jesus ain't fine. You're only as healthy with Jesus as you are with your other brothers and sisters in Christ. Can I get an amen? Amen. And so we are, you know, how desperate are you to maintain a relationship with Christ? If you need something to motivate you to stay closely connected and to love your brothers and sisters in Christ, I just gave you a reason. Because your relationship with Jesus Christ will ebb and flow as it relates to your relationship with one another. You get out of sync with another brother and sister in Christ, you're out of sync with Christ. Hello? That's the bottom line. And that's why, that's what he's commanding us. The Bible says you cannot hate somebody and be a Christian. You cannot hate a brother and be a Christian. In other words, a distinguishing mark of Christianity is what? Love. Christians love. Amen? Christians, you know, we should be the most loving. In fact, he said, the world will know you by what? You think lost people think that we love each other? I'm asking y'all. It's not a trick question. Y'all look at me. I'm asking y'all, does the average non-Christian who is sitting at home mowing their yard or you know, whatever they're doing right now, getting ready for football, right? Do they think we love each other? You say yeah. Okay. So we're getting mixed reviews here. That's why it's dangerous for me to do this. And I agree. I think that, but what I think is that some of them say they don't love each other. Whatever gave them the idea that we don't love each other? We did. I guarantee you, you don't think they hear the stories? I know that there are so many churches that have so lost their witness in the community because of, you know, police have been there at a Wednesday night prayer meeting. Are you kidding me? Yeah. Business meetings that go south. I'm telling you guys, listen, everybody look up here. We have to guard our testimony. We should guard our, if we're ever going to impact Southern Granville County, we have to guard our testimony, amen? Our testimony has to be that we love each other. We love each other.
Amen.
We love each other.
We do.
We have to guard that, guys. Guard it with your life. And Jesus is saying, you don't have a choice. Y'all understand what a commandment is? Do I need to tell you what the Greek means for commandment? Here it is. Commandment. We're commanded to love each other. Let me ask you a question. How are we doing? How are we doing? Can we do better?
Yes.
Yeah. Can we agree that we're going to do better? This week, today, I'm going to do better. You know, if for no other reason, because I know it's imperative to my relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm going to do better. And it's important. And we realize that love is a choice. And that's why, listen, that's why he can command us to love our wives. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved. By the way, all the husbands in here, that's a commandment too. Hello? It's a commandment. Husbands, love. Fathers, love your children. That's a commandment. How can Jesus be commanding us to do all this loving? Here it is. Everybody look up here. Because love is a choice. It's a choice we make, right? We choose to love. We choose to love. I heard the funny story about this old couple. They were having their 60th wedding anniversary. Can you imagine that? Married for 60 wonderful years. And so all the family and friends and relatives, I mean, people came from all over to help this couple celebrate. Several hundred were there at this celebration. And as they were cutting the cake and they're there together and remembering that day 60 years ago when they cut that wedding cake, trying to relive the bliss of their wedding day, 60 years in the aftermath, and the cameras are flashing and everybody's taking pictures. Well, the husband, Henry, he decides he's going to give his bride a speech. Somebody tapped on the glasses and here's Henry, right? And so he says, Ethel, after 60 years of marriage, I found you to be tried and true. Well, Ethel was kind of hard of hearing. And she didn't quite get what Henry said. And so on the heels of that, she retorted, well, Henry, after 60 years of marriage, I'm tired of you too. Beloved, love is a choice. And it's a beautiful characteristic of friendship. So the first trait of genuine friendship is love. And the second one is directly related to love, and it's sacrifice. Sacrifice. Jesus sacrificed on our behalf, and His sacrifice was a clear demonstration of His love. Wouldn't you agree? Look at verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friend. Do you see that? And what Jesus is saying is, hey, I'm about to demonstrate how much I love you and my genuine love for you by laying down my life for you. Love, beloved, and sacrifice go hand in hand. And we recognize the value of sacrifice in the context of our friendships, don't we? In other words, I want you to think about a friendship or a couple of friendships that you really value. If you're here today and you have a friendship with somebody, that you would say, you know what, out of all my relationships with friends, this one's the one I value most. And I guarantee you that part of the reason why you put so much value into that friendship is because you know that that person loves you, listen, and you know that that person is willing to say and has proven over the course of time to be willing to sacrifice for you. Are you with me? I'm telling you, nothing says I love you more than my willingness to sacrifice for you. Are you with me? I mean, when I'm willing to go out on a limb, when others are willing to go out on a limb to sacrifice something, whether it's just simply their time or their energy or a listening ear or whatever it may be, that speaks volumes about their friendship for me. And their care and their concern for me. One of the things that, as I think about sacrifice, I was trying to think of illustrations. Certainly we have one in Jesus' willingness to lay down His life for His friends. But I was just thinking about other illustrations, relevant illustrations of friendship sacrifice. And I was reminded when we did men's fraternity, and the key leader of men's fraternity was a guy by the name of Robert Lewis. And he was the master of illustrations. And he was talking about friendships and how he had had some really wonderful friendships that were lasting over the long haul. And he talked about when his mom died, and his mom didn't live in the same city that he lived in. And he and his family had to fly to be with the family at the mom's funeral. And he said one of the things that just really touched him was that out of those friends, he had two or three that flew there to be with him during that time of his mom's passing and his mom's funeral. Now, I want you to think about that. That's sacrifice, guys. Because that probably hadn't happened suddenly. And you know what plane tickets cost whenever you don't have notice, right? So they had to sacrifice income in order to be there. They probably, well, they had to take off work, right? That's big time. Would that not minister to you? You know, I'm grateful to say at my dad's funeral, two of my friends, long high school buddies that I had not seen or talked to in years, saw it in the obits and showed up at my daddy's funeral. That sacrifice, and that meant a lot to me. And it meant a lot because they were willing to sacrifice for me, but it also said what? They loved me. That they loved me. And so as we think about the characteristics and the traits of friendship, we know that one of them is love. Jesus certainly demonstrated that. Another one is sacrifice. But I want you to notice also, and this one is big time. It's the trait of acceptance. I want you to look at verse 15, the first part. The trait of acceptance. Well, it's really important if you're going to cultivate friendships to accept people, okay? To accept your friends. Jesus says this, "No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends." Okay? Now, Jesus told them in this verse that he's no longer going to call them servants, that from this day forward, that the condition is going to be on them being friends. And what a wonderful truth, wouldn't you agree? What a wonderful truth that he accepted them not as slaves any longer, but as friends. And what a foundation of love as Christ considers his closest friends. The Greek word in verse 15 for friend, and I suggest that you write it in the margin of your Bible, literally means a friend of the court. A friend of the court, the king's court. And it describes the intimate inner circle of friends around the emperor or the king. In other words, when Jesus says that, he accepts us into his presence. Now, I want you to think about that, to be accepted into the presence of the king. Not very many people are able to gain entrance or gain an audience with the king. And Jesus is the king of all kings. Amen? And to think that we are a friend to King Jesus. In this culture, the friends of the king or emperor had immediate access to him. They had the right to even approach him in his dressing room at the beginning of the day. And the emperor talked to them before he talked to his generals, his rulers, and his statesmen. Think about that. God as your friend. That's overwhelming. I'm so grateful that we have a friend in Jesus and that he opens that opportunity and avenue up to us. What an incredible prize. A slave, a sinner, and now we are his closest friend. So let's review. Love is a characteristic of genuine friendship. Sacrifice. Acceptance. Number four is openness. Openness. And we see that at the second half of verse 15, where he says, notice this in the text, "All things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." If we understand the Greek culture or the Roman Greco culture, we recognize that there was a separation between masters and slaves. A master would never share personal information with a slave. I mean, it just wouldn't happen. In our modern day world, it's the equivalent of how most employers do not share personal information with their employees. And in the same way, slaves would not divulge or share intimate personal things about their own life with their slaves. But Jesus said, "You are not my slaves. You are my friends. And I have told you everything. I have told you what I'm trying to do and what I'm trying and how I'm trying to do it and why I'm trying to do it. I've told you everything which God told me." And Jesus was saying, "Men, I don't consider you slaves, but I call you friends. And on that basis, I'm sharing information with you." And Jesus shared, wouldn't you agree, the deepest thoughts of his heart with those disciples? Would, Would y'all agree that we need close friends who we can completely, who we can be completely open and honest with? People that we can really confide in. That's a true friend. Do you have one? If you have somebody that you can truly confide in, comfortably confide in, you are so blessed on this side of heaven. But can I just say this? If you don't, you have one in Jesus. You have one in Him. Jesus is that friend. And we need that healing that so often comes when we reveal our feelings to another without fear. Have you ever felt like you wanted to share something with somebody, but you didn't feel like it was safe? And you were just like, man, I want to share this with them, but I just am reluctant to, right? Man, you're so blessed if you have someone that you don't have to worry about that. Can I get an amen? And I'm grateful that we have that in Christ. As believers, we need to take time to talk about one another's goals, to pray about one another's needs, to share and to encourage one another. And Jesus promoted in this text that sort of openness, along with love and sacrifice and acceptance. But finally, the last characteristic that I want to pull from this text or derive from this text is that genuine friendship believes in and promotes the friend. Believes in the friend and promotes, listen, them, promotes their well-being. In other words, is a source of encouragement to them. Runs alongside them and cheers them on. You can do it. You know, you can do this. And tells them how wonderful they are. Gives them words of encouragement. You know, we don't get a whole lot of that. Can I get an amen? I mean, I'm telling you, if you just take on this characteristic alone, you'll not ever lack or long for friends. Be an encourager. Just encourage people. You know, promote them. Tell them what they do good. Tell them what they do well. Pull out things in their lives that you've noticed. Observe things and say, you know, I've been watching you. Put your arm around them. Say, I've been watching you. And I've noticed this about you. And then go on to tell them about something you observed in them that they did really well and that you were impressed with. And say, man, that's a wonderful characteristic, brother. I mean, that is awesome. I've been watching you. Keep that up. What would that mean to you, somebody doing that? You know what we usually get? Tell me. Do you usually get that? Who in here usually gets that? What do you usually get?
You got to do better.
You got to do better, man. You're not cutting the mustard. You better shape up
or ship out.
Are y'all with me? Am I the only one that gets that?
I'm kidding. I couldn't resist. She's one of my greatest encouragers. I better say this now, right? Yeah. I'm not even going to ask you what you said, sister. I'm not going there. We're moving on.
No, but I'm serious, even in the context of our marriages, amen? That we need to be, you know, confidants. I mean, are you safe in your marriage to tell your spouse your deepest secrets? I mean, that's a healthy marriage. Can I get an amen? I mean, that's a beautiful thing. And to you know, just to be encouraged. I want to be a Barnabas, amen? A son of encouragement. I don't want to be a Debbie Downer. Do y'all? You know, the truth of the matter is that we don't have... Listen, I don't have to struggle. It's not a struggle for me to find an endearing quality in you. It's not. You all have them. Wonderful. You know, I look around and they come to mind as I look at you. Some of you are like, well, email me this week. I'm not buttering you up. I'm telling you the truth. Every one of you, even as I look around, I just think, man, you're so precious. You're so valuable. You know, you're so amazing in the way that you love and the things you do, the thoughts that you convey. It's unbelievable. Wow, we're so, look around and rejoice, beloved. Rejoice to have friends, to have people that love you, amen, and care about you, amen. I mean, there's so many people, like we read, that don't have this. They don't have anybody. And I want to say this too. There are people that come in and out of church, and they would say, I go to church every Sunday and I don't have that. Can I say something? That's a tragedy. We got to do better, guys. Amen? So, I want to be honest. I could go around to each one of you and pull out at least one and probably two or three qualities that I really admire about you and that I value in our friendship. And just how you've blessed me, an angel, over the years. Amen? Couldn't we do that? Yes. And we should.
I love
her. You love her?
I love her
more. Let's stand together, shall we? Sydney, come and I'm going to throw a monkey wrench in your plans if I can. I want to sing the first song we sang this morning. Can I do that? You're so gracious. I know you've worked hard on the invitation song, but I was listening. Sydney didn't know what I was preaching today, and I was listening to reading the lyrics of this song, and it's so perfect for what we're talking about. And, it talks about the Lord working in my life to bring me to a place to need Him more. Is that accurate?
Yeah.
What's it called?
Keep making me.
Keep me what?
Keep making me.
Keep making me.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I hope He'll keep making me. Amen. I need His help. Anybody else need His help this morning? I so need Him. And I need His help just that I could be a better friend. Anybody here want to be a better friend? Brother, you're a good friend. I just want to say that. And I hesitate to call you out because at the expense of everybody else, but you are a good friend. You've been a good friend to me, brother. I'm telling you that. And your friends will testify to that too. They will testify. In fact, one of them recently did. He said, you're the best friend he's ever had. Can you imagine somebody saying that about you? Have you ever had somebody say that about you? Man, if you ever had somebody say, you are the best friend I've ever had, are you kidding me? That is a glorious commendation, amen? But you know what? This brother would testify, you're a great friend, but you're not Jesus. Amen? He's better. He's got you beat. Amen. And that's what you're doing. You're reflecting Christ, aren't you? Hey, let's be good friends this week. Amen? Let's love on somebody. Let's find something today that we can go to somebody and say, you know what I've noticed about you? And say something wonderful to them. Can we do that? Let's love one another. Amen? It's a commandment. Here, did you get them? What were they? These are the characteristics of genuine friendship. Love, right? Sacrifice, acceptance, openness, where it's an open door. You can come talk to me about anything. Is that valuable? That's valuable. Man, I'm telling you, most of us in this room do not have that. We do not have somebody that we can go to and just be completely open and honest. Okay? And then the last one is that we would believe in our friend and promote them. That we would lift them up. That we would, when we're talking to somebody else, I'd say, man, have you noticed Brother Wayne, what an awesome guy he is? Instead of, have you noticed what a scoundrel? Are y'all with me? That we would edify others. Man, I'm telling you, if we could, hey, everybody look around. If we could get this straight, we'd need a bigger building. Because people would be banging on our door to get in here to get some of this loving that I'm talking about. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you for loving us in spite of ourselves. We are so unworthy of your love and of your friendship. And it blows us away that the God of this universe would call us friends. Lord, we thank you for loving us the way you do. We thank you for your sacrifice. And there's no greater sacrifice. You got it right when you said, greater love hath no man than this, but to lay down his life for his friends. Lord, you did that. You laid down your life for us. And we praise you and we worship you this morning for doing that for us and for loving us and for accepting us and for sacrificing and for being open and sharing all the intimacy that you had with God the Father, with your dad, with us. Lord, we praise you for that. Lord, I pray for that one who's here this morning who would say, oh God, I'd give anything. That sounds so wonderful to have a friend like you're talking about. A friend like this preacher's preaching about. God, I pray that you would put somebody in their path. Number one, to remind them of the friend they have in Jesus. But number two, to be that earthly friend, to be that earthly representative of Jesus. And then, Lord, I pray that you would enable us to be that kind of friend to others. Lord, we thank you for this text, and we worship you now in song, and we pray that you be glorified as we sing together to close this service. In Jesus' name, amen.